Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Tuesday, January the 18th, 2022, 17 and a half minutes past the hour. Check your school delays and cancellations this morning, as many schools have canceled for today because of weather. We're going to turn now to certainly a big story in the community. Since we spoke to the Marion Public Health Commissioner last, Tracy Kinsler, the National Guard has arrived at Marion General Hospital, and it's an interesting time for the COVID-19 pandemic, so it's always a pleasure to welcome to the microphones for a few minutes here on Tuesday morning, Marion Public Health Commissioner Tracy Kinsler. Tracy, how you doing?
I'm doing okay, thank you.
Tracy, where are we at in Marion County right now?
Our numbers are continuing to climb. We're seeing over 200 cases a day now for the last several days. We've gotten up to close to 300 a couple times because of the backlog that the state had. But even without that, we are just higher than we have ever been before, and that has been consistent for the last, it just keeps building over the last couple of weeks.
You know, Tracy, there was this, it seemed to be hysteria right after the new year, and people were panicked and people were worried, and then it seemed to subside, but the numbers don't seem to reflect that. Right now, we're at an all-time high.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, people knew that the Christmas holiday was going to be bad, and I don't know that people can appreciate how long it actually does take for you to start to see things. So, you know, your attention wanes or your worry wanes, and you move on to the next thing in your life and that kind of thing. And meanwhile, the pandemic, you know, the virus is building in the background.
If we're talking right now about over 200 cases a day, where are we supposed to be at?
We're supposed to be under 65 for a two-week period. So we would like to see, you know, under 10 a day to be considered not at a high rate. So we are tremendously high right now.
When we have over 200 cases a day, are we equipped in Marion for that, test-wise, hospital-wise?
It has been a big struggle. It's getting harder and harder to get tested. We have been out of tests now for a week. We don't know when we're getting more in. They could come today or it could be the end of January. The state for those at-home tests has had to go to a new way of allotting test kits, so we just can't call in and make a request anymore. We're getting allocated a certain number for the month. So we only have 1,000 more tests that could come in the month of January, and we don't know if we're going to get those or not. I know that the hospital testing site has been overwhelmed. I've seen people out on the street, over by the post office, even the lines to get into the testing center. So it has been overwhelming that way.
Tracy, when we look at this, what is the problem here? Because one of the interesting things behind this is I doubt people would be going to get tested if they felt fine. Because in the beginning, we heard about being asymptomatic. If you're asymptomatic, I doubt you would get a test. So I'm guessing these people who are going for tests are feeling something.
Yes, I think we're seeing a lot more illness. A lot more, because we've had a lot more exposure. It doesn't take as long to get sick as it did in the beginning. We would see people not get sick until day 12, 13 after they were exposed. Now we're seeing people, they tend to start feeling symptomatic pretty close to their exposure date. And so, yes, the rate of illness is a lot higher. We're seeing a lot less people that are asymptomatic that are getting tested.
Is this all due to the contagious nature of the Omicron variant?
Yes, it's a highly, highly contagious variant, and, you know, people need to get vaccinated. That's the main, you know, moral of the story. If we want this to stop and want to end this pandemic, we have to get vaccinated.
Do vaccination rates seem to be going up at all?
They're just mildly creeping up, so we did pass the 50% threshold, but, you know, we're going up. Every week we go up by, you know, a tenth of a percentage point or something like that. So it's going very slow. We do still have people, we're open 5 days a week at the health department for shots. And we do still have people coming in. Some days we only get five or six, and other days we're getting, you know, 30 or 40.
Now, as far as vaccines and booster shots, are the pharmacies in town and the health department well stocked on those?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we get short on, like, a Moderna. We have plenty of Pfizer. Shipping has been a little bit wonky lately because of the holidays and different things like that. But, yes, we're well stocked on vaccine.
Are you surprised that with the numbers as high as they are, that the vaccination rate is not going up at that same rate?
Yeah, I am. You know, we did see a big boost in our vaccination rate in before Christmas, and we were really excited about that. But with how high all the case counts are right now and how sick everybody seems to be, it does surprise me that we've kind of stalled with vaccines. So I would just encourage people to get out, get your vaccine. If you're healthy right now, we want to keep you that way.
Do we know what the severity of the illness is, what most people are feeling? When you have 200 and days when things even creep over 300 a day, are these people going to the hospital? Is it like a cold like we hear on the national news? Do we know what people are feeling like?
I think most people are feeling those cold symptoms, and the people that have been vaccinated are getting a more mild case. People who haven't been vaccinated tend to get a more severe case of those cold-like symptoms, a severe cough, not being able to breathe very well. But the symptoms are still pretty much the same as they have always been, and they are wide-ranging. Some people just report really terrible headaches. Some people report diarrhea and other stomach issues. We've actually seen in the same household where one person who is positive has those GI issues and another one has the respiratory issues. So, you know, it can affect everybody differently. But most of the time what will land you in the hospital is not being able to breathe. And so we just, you know, we encourage people to monitor their breathing levels, their oxygen levels, their pulse, all of those things, and go to the hospital if you're starting to have trouble breathing.
The last time you were on, Tracy, we talked about the death rate. It was reported in the paper, but possibly the headline did not reflect exactly what the story was. Are we seeing more people die from this because more people are contracting it?
Not yet. So it takes a while before, you know, people, they'll tend to be sick at home for a week to 2 weeks before they become hospitalized, and then they'll be hospitalized just in a regular medical unit possibly for a few days, a week, and then they move to the ICU typically and will be put on a ventilator, which could take a few weeks. So the death rate usually it lags behind the case rates, you know, by a good month, typically.
The National Guard came to the hospital, I believe it was last Monday, a week ago yesterday. Are you hearing anything out of the hospital as far as are they full? What's going on out there?
Yeah, I think, you know, the ICU cases, beds did drop down a little bit. I haven't talked to them in the last several days, so I'm not exactly sure where they stand today, but the ICU rate of COVID cases in the ICU did fall. And, you know, you can attribute that to, unfortunately, the people that were in there and the taking up the ICU beds when we talked the last time have passed away. And the new people haven't come in yet. And hopefully we can prevent that from happening in this new variant where they say that, you know, those severe cases aren't as many. But, you know, I think they see a lot of activity in the emergency room. There's people coming in to get just to get tested, and that takes up a lot of resources. And so I think they could continue to see a really high volume in the hospital, but I just don't think that they are in the ICU as much as they were.
Schools returned right after the New Year holiday, and Marion City Schools went back about a week, and now we have learned that on January the 19th, tomorrow, they will return the mask mandate because of staffing issues as well as students contracting the virus. Have we seen the fallout from the schools returning yet?
We do see, most days we're seeing around 40 to 50 of our cases being school-age kids. So, yeah, it has been a high number of youth-aged kids that are contracting the virus. Because our case count is so high, it's hard to tell where people picked up the virus. So it's hard to tell if those students, if it's spreading in the schools or if they're getting it outside of the school, from their families and things. But we're definitely seeing it in that younger population.
Does age seem to mean anything with this variant?
That's a good question. I haven't really studied that or looked into that, how it's affecting kids differently than adults. I just know anecdotally I have heard a lot of stories about kids getting, you know, pretty sick, still at home, not going to the hospital, not having those breathing issues, but feeling pretty sick for an extended period of time. You know, that's kind of the thing that we're seeing is that it's lasting a long time.
If you are a vaccinated person and maybe even somebody who's gotten the booster shot and you have to go to the grocery store or you have to go pick up medicine or you have to go out in public for any number of reasons, what is the best thing to do when the case count is at this point between 200 and 300 people per day contracting this, and also knowing the severity of the contagiousness of this?
Wear your mask. Try to go at an off time so that there isn't as many people there. And when you get home, wash your hands very thoroughly to make sure that you're getting that off of your hands. But the mask continues to be our best defense against the virus. So having the vaccine doesn't prevent you from catching COVID. What it's trying to do is prevent you from having to be hospitalized because of COVID. And so you still need to wear your mask in order to not catch it. In a situation like this where it's everywhere, the virus is literally everywhere, you know, that shot's having to work overtime. So you want to help it along with your mask. If you have the ability to wear the surgical mask or a KN95 or an N95, those are always the best options. They always have been. If you're wearing your cloth mask still, if it's only one layer, make sure to add another layer. So get a surgical mask and then put your cloth mask over it, or double up on your cloth masks right now.
You know, Tracy, we have a couple minutes left here. I want to talk about the mask because Marion City Schools is returning to the mask mandate, and there has been so much blowback about these masks ever since the state mandate was lifted last spring. People will say the mask does not work, it doesn't help, both people have to be wearing the mask, the person who has the illness, the person who doesn't want to get the illness. What is the truth behind the mask for people who are interested?
Masks are dependent, the effectiveness of the mask are dependent on the person who's wearing it. You have to have that tight seal. So if people are masked, but their mask is loose on the sides, you can see a gap in between the mask and their cheek, or it's down below their nose, or it's barely sitting on top of their nose, that is not effective. You're not making a good seal around your face, which is what you want. So, you know, it depends on that. The better the seal that you have, the more protected you are. So with a cloth mask, you want to make sure it has a wire in it so that you can pinch it around your nose, and you want to make sure it's tight fitting on your face. gaiters and bandanas and things like that. You can see right through them. That means that the air is going through them and you're not protected with a gaiter or a bandana very well. But, you know, masks are a part of layers that unfortunately is what we have to prevent this pandemic. So there's several layers of protection, and masking is one of those. Staying home when you're sick is one of those. Washing your hands is one of those. Getting vaccinated is one of those. So the more of those layers that we add on, the more protected we are.
When we look at this whole thing, is there going to be a point when we have 50%, now just over 50% of people in Marion vaccinated, and so many people contracting this, will there be a point where everybody has either, nearly everybody, has either had it or is vaccinated, and that will slow this down?
You know, that's a good question. I do hear a lot of researchers and physicians speculating on that. There's no really clear answer at this point. I hope that's what happens. But the virus has changed and mutated so much, and we've been such a good host for it, that I'm cautious about that kind of thing, you know, really working. What will the next mutation be? And we don't know that. But, you know, there are studies happening, and people are trying to answer that question about what is that threshold, and could this variant be what helps us reach that threshold? And you combine, you know, how high case counts are. People, you know, we're at 50%, but statewide is more closer to 70, and, you know, you look at the country. Then we're going to go into summer where things tend to drop off anyway, so will that contribute to helping the virus end? I really don't know. You know, I don't know how that will play out, but what I do know is that we all need to be vaccinated, and that's really truly going to be what ends this pandemic.
Final question, Tracy. When we talk about Omicron, and we keep hearing about it on the news and that it is highly contagious, that's about all that we hear. In the beginning, we heard 6 feet apart, wear a mask, wash your hands. When we're talking about highly contagious, is that no longer good enough? What does highly contagious mean?
It means that it's spreading from one person to the other. So before, you might have been in a room, and, you know, I'm making these numbers up because I can't think of the number off the top of my head, but if you had 10 people in a room and one person was positive, you might see two or three of those people turn positive that were exposed to that person. Now you're seeing five or six. So it's about how quickly the virus is going from person to person. That's really what we're talking about with contagious. So you don't have to be as around the person for long periods of time, and it's spreading to more than one person at a time. So when we looked at the flu, it was like less than one times contagiousness. So that one person in the room out of 10 would get the flu. With regular COVID, quote unquote, it was much more contagious than the flu, and it was more like two or three, and now we're, you know, more in that 5 to 6 range that are going to get it.
You know, Tracy, we kept hearing about the flu was going to be bad this year. Are we seeing that is the case?
We are starting to see some flu. We haven't had, I don't know that we've had any hospitalizations yet. I could be wrong on that. I haven't asked for this week yet, but so we are starting to see some flu creep in there, so time will tell how severe that's going to wind up being, or if Omicron will play any part in that.
Tracy, it's always a pleasure to talk with you, and I hope we talk again very soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Marion Public Health Commissioner Tracy Kinsler with an update on COVID-19 here on WWGH Radio. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And again, we have no stance at this station on vaccinations or mask wearing. That is a personal choice that everybody will have to make, but these are the numbers. You know, it's hard for me to imagine that here we are, 300, some days 300 cases a day, the average right around the 200 mark in Marion. You know, that's just Marion County, where we have about 65,000 people in the county. Those are extremely high numbers, and the fact now that we are at the highest point, actually running out of testing supplies, I don't know what that says. I don't know why that has happened, why we have gotten to the point where we don't even have enough testing supplies to check people out. Because I don't think that had happened at any point during the pandemic, and we're getting close to about 2 years in this thing now. So that's the story on that this morning. If anybody has anything they'd like to comment or bring up in regard to that, give us a buzz, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott.
Good morning. How you doing?
Well, we're hanging right in there. I was wondering if you heard, I think I did correctly, that Jim Canal had the COVID.
You know, I haven't heard that. That very well could be.
Yeah, he was off the channel there on the news, and I like to watch him, and I like to watch McPete and Channel 4, all three of them. They send a message to me real well. But anyhow, yeah, he was off for a couple of weeks, and his anchor there, she said, how are you feeling now since you've been off for a couple of weeks? And then he broadcasted over the TV that he had COVID. So I just thought I'd pass that on to you since he was used down there talking to him. I got the same feeling about him as you do. And the other ones, they seem, well, they're old-timers. See, they've been around, so they do a wonderful job, just like yourself, on talking about the weather and stuff. So I just thought I'd pass that on to you, Scott. See you later.
Hey, thank you. Bye-bye. No, I had not heard anything about Jim Ganahl having COVID. Did anybody hear that? Usually I don't get a chance to watch the local news, 4, 6, or 10, and especially when Jim's on during the day. But it could be. I don't know. Has anybody heard anything to that degree? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Any comments or questions in regard to Tracy Kinsler's appearance here on the show this morning? And has anybody heard anything about Jim Ganahl getting COVID-19? I had not heard that, but it very well could be the case. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott.
Yes.
Can we put a pitch in for the Chapter 1117 Vietnam Veterans of America's banner campaign for veterans from Marion County?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Well, I would invite anyone that's listening that goes to Facebook to visit Facebook, Marion. Oh, geez, now I have a mental block. It's a banner campaign. I forget the exact address or website on Facebook page, whatever they call it. I hate Facebook, by the way. But we, if anybody's familiar with Kenton, Mount Gilead, or Galleon, all along the streets, they have veterans recognized from their community. And that's what Chapter 1117 is doing, by recognizing all veterans from Marion County. And we'll be lining the streets on Church Street, Prospect Street, up to Mount Vernon to the Veterans Memorial Park, and Church Street East going towards the Harding Home and Museum. And any veteran from Marion County, if you have documentation of a veteran from a Revolutionary War, hey, they qualify, as long as they're from Marion County. We want to recognize them. We have the wonderful Veterans Memorial Park that collectively recognizes our veterans. This campaign with the banners will individually recognize your veteran.
Very, very nice. What is the cost again for these banners?
The cost for the banner is $135. They have a lifespan of approximately 3 to 4 years. They're 24 wide by 36 tall, and they do have some ultraviolet protection on them. The person sponsoring these banners will receive 2 replica banners to use as they see fit. And the banners, they will be up from Memorial Day through Veterans Day. And then they'll be taken down and stored until next Veterans or Memorial Day to Veterans Day. And you can contact the office and get more information. The phone number is 419-560-1124. 419-560-1124.
And this is a very important thing that other communities have done that Marion should be involved with.
Marion should be. I think once we get these banners up and you see them flying in the wind, it sends a message to any visitors to our community. It could even impress the daylights of a business that might be looking to expand or become part of the Marion community.
Is there a hope for when they want this project completed and the banners up?
Well, I think we're going to take them as they come, however many we can get. Now, the important date is the end of February. February 28th is our deadline. So call that number, 419-560-1124.
And
Marion, the Facebook page is Marion Military Banner. Marion Military Banner. Now, we hope to have office times up there posted soon. At present, the county commissioners have given them an office at the Marion County Administration Building in the basement by the recorder's office. But the best way to contact them is the phone number 419-560-1124.
And the cost again is $135. Now this will put the veteran's picture. And is there any other information on the poster?
Banner? They will have, if they have citations, say they're a Purple Heart, say they were awarded a medal, so on and so forth, those will be on there as well.
Go ahead. No, it sounds like a great idea, and hopefully the Marion community will get behind it. Do we know how many are needed for the project to get underway?
Well, the project is all underway. The Chapter 1117, this is a cost. They are not making any money from this. This is just a project that the sponsor, if it's a family member or someone who knows a veteran that they think should be recognized, the cost is flat out $135. Now also, the company, if I understand correctly, the company that is printing these will have a permanent website for Marion County veterans. Now this year, let's say we only get 100. Well, we'll start working, and by word of mouth, for next year, maybe we get another 100, 200, who knows. But the fact of the matter is, we need to get the message out to people. If they served the country and they're from Marion, Ohio, Marion County, we would like to get them recognized with a banner.
Now, as far as placement of the banners, do the people who are paying the money, do they have any say where the banner would go?
Unfortunately not. However, they are working diligently to prepare a map and a GPS coordinated map so that folks coming from out of town will be able to access and go directly to where their veteran, their banner is placed.
Is there a certain area in Marion where these will be?
My understanding is it'll start at the intersection of Prospect and Church Street, go Prospect to Veterans Memorial Park, and then from Church Street to Greenwood Street. I don't know how far beyond the Harding Museum and the Harding Home. That's the first phase that we hope to get things going.
Now, the lifespan of the banners being 3 to 4 years after you pay the $135, is there any thought to what will happen when the banner has to come down? Will somebody have to pay again if they want to put it back up, or how will that process go?
We haven't even reached that point yet. I would imagine that to replace it, I don't know what that cost would be, but I'm sure that there would be a cost to replace that banner. What that is at this juncture, I have no idea.
Well, it's a great idea. Everybody certainly is behind veterans here in Marion. The cost is $135. It's the banner campaign here in Marion. If you know of a veteran who is no longer with us or a veteran who is still with us, a banner will be made of this person, citations that they might have. They will be hung on poles here in Marion. The cost is $135, and if you have any questions or would like to do this, the telephone number to call, 419-560-1124, and looking right now to have these in before February the 28th.
That's right, and one thing really important, this will recognize the service and sacrifices of the individual veteran, so that veteran will be recognized, not collectively like you see at Veterans Memorial Park, but individually.
Yep, absolutely. Well, Terry, thanks for calling, and if there's ever any other updates, give us a buzz.
Will do.
Hey, thank you. Bye-bye. Well, we talked about that back around, I think it was on Veterans Day when we had the veterans in here, that this banner campaign is going on. So if anybody in your family has ever been a veteran, even if they're no longer with us, you can get a banner with their picture on it and the citations that they might have received, or if you're a veteran, or if you have a veteran in your family right now. It's $135. At this point, the lifespan of these banners will be 3 to 4 years. They will hang here in Marion alongside the roads on the poles. The telephone number to call is 419-560-1124. $135 for a banner, and you also get two replicas with that. Again, that telephone number, 419-560-1124, and they hope to have all those ready to go by February the 28th, about a month and a half from now. 49 coming up on 50 minutes past the hour here, WWGH Radio Time. Anything else on anybody's mind this morning? Anything anybody would like to report? As we just did, any news story or any events going on in Marion that are of interest to anybody, or any follow-ups to the COVID conversation we had with Tracy Kinsler at the top of the hour. 740-383-9944. Phone lines are open here at the station, and I do want to remind people that here today on WWGH Radio, we'll have Adam the Computer Guy at 2:15 and Voice of a People with Linda Sims at 4:15. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott.
Yeah.
I got a little thing to bring up here. I really don't mean to be critical of any of the things that you guys do, but when Adam's saying Millisaur, I just can't hear it one more time.
Millisaur, right. Millisaur.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that's what... It was one of those things yesterday when I was in the car, because the obituaries only play four times. I thought I heard that, but right, it is Millizer.
Right, and if you're not from around here, you may not know that. So, yeah, I certainly don't want to be anyone's, you know, boss, but I just thought, pretty sure that's Millizer.
Yeah, I imagine he's listening out there, so we'll hopefully...
Well, no offense, windpipe.
No offense. How are the roads out there this morning?
I wouldn't have a clue. I'm down with COVID.
Oh, you've got COVID. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I'm one of the 200 a day.
Well, how are you feeling?
Well, it's getting better, but originally, like, someone had ran my head over the trash truck.
Really? That bad?
Yeah. It's where the sinuses, like where your sinuses are, there's pain and pressure.
Do you?
And it's weird because I always thought that if you lost your sense of smell, like taste and smell went hand in hand. I can still taste a little bit, although it's about half, but my smell is gone. I can't smell anything at all.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, I remember you called in Friday. Did this all take place after Friday night?
Pretty much.
Isn't that something?
I mean, I just thought I was getting a cold. Last week I started feeling a little crummy, but I just thought it was a cold, you know, because just because COVID's going on doesn't mean everything else just took a vacation. So I just thought, well, because I have a bad habit of going out the house in the morning with a wet head, not blow dry my hair. So I thought, well, you probably just have the sniffles. But then I've never in my life lost my sense of smell. That was a pretty good indicator. Okay, it might be COVID. So then I had him ram the Q-tip up my nose, and there you go.
You know, it's interesting. We never know where we pick this up, but being an employee of the city and having to wear a mask when you drive the bus, do you have any idea in your mind where you might have picked it up?
Like half my family has it, so I'm not putting this off on my job.
Yeah. Well, no, it's
my little 10-month-old grandbaby, Oliver. He's got it.
Really? 10 months
yes.
old? Oh, gosh. What are his symptoms?
A lot of congestion.
Jeez. So it certainly doesn't discriminate on age.
No, not at all. And it's, you know, you got to watch out for your elderly and for the babies.
Yeah. Well, what are the rules on that now? How long do you have to isolate or stay inside?
5 days. My doctor said I need to quarantine for 5 days. Then after that, strict mask wearing for 5 days. Then business as usual. She prescribed me a Z-Pack.
Had you been, and you don't have to answer if you don't want to, but had you been vaccinated?
Oh, yeah, Moderna. I've taken the Modernas.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm not a doctor and I can't say this is only just speculation, but the other people that I know that have it that were not vaccinated, they're as sick as a dog right now. Me, I just look, I have a head cold. Mm. So I think that was a good thing I got the shot.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? Well, stay well and stay with us, and I hope your family feels
better.
Oh,
you're not getting rid of me that easy, but if I should die, it's a bird graft. Don't be having windpipe doing any
kind of variation. Wait a second. When I said stay with us, I meant like stay tuned, not stay alive.
Oh, okay.
I assume you're going to make it through this.
It's just burr and then graft.
Burr graft.
Any kind of variations there.
So,
I want people to know it was me that died.
So should 20 years from now you leave us, it would be Burgraff.
Yes.
You know.
Okay, bye, Scott.
Stay well, Sarah. Bye-bye. All right, well, there, that's an interesting, you know, first-hand stories are the best, and if people want to share them, that's a good first-hand story from one of our regular listeners out there, which we appreciate very much. 55 minutes past the hour here. On this Tuesday, January the 18th, 2022, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz. If the line's ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else, so keep on trying back in. And for all the people yesterday who did wonder, we did get a call in regard to snow removal. We had somebody call yesterday who was interested in having... snow removal, or snow blown from their yards. The telephone number we received yesterday was 740-223-6943. That was for snow removal. Again, 740-223-6943. And you might still need that because there is an awful lot of snow on the ground and not much melting going on as of yet from our 3.5-inch snowfall yesterday morning. Well, 3.5 here on South Prospect Street where the station is. I guess depending on where you were in the county, it was a little different. I know out in Clarendon, I think it was 2 to 2.5 inches. Out in Morrow County, it was about 2.25. Pleasant Township, I think it was what it was here, 3, 3.5. So depending on where you were, that's how the snow fell. Again, we've got about 4 minutes left in this hour, 740-383-9944. Anything on your mind this morning, give us a buzz. Did anybody hear that Jim Gunnall had COVID? Channel 6 meteorologist. I had a chance to go down and interview Jim back in October, and it was kind of interesting because we talked about COVID, because we talked about a lot of Jim's health concerns at that particular time, and I remember him saying that he had been vaccinated, and I believe he said he had been boosted at that time, but that COVID was somewhat of a concern because of his congestive heart failure and some other, well, age, of course, being an issue with Jim and being around a lot of people and still going to the office. So it'll be interesting to find out if that is the case with our friend Jim Gunnall. Has anybody heard that? 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz. Again, do want to remind people, if you want to get a veteran's banner, that would be a banner that will hang here in Marion along the streets with your veteran's picture and citations on the banner. 419-560-1124. $135 would be the cost. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I wish somebody else that I heard that yesterday. He come back after 2 weeks, he said, and I'm pretty sure, but, you know, I just don't want to be that positive, but I'm pretty positive that he said, yes, I had COVID.
So he was back in the office yesterday?
Yeah, he was off for a while, and I was wondering, I told the wife, I said, I wonder what old Big Jim's doing, and he's probably out playing in the snow, and I said, nah, can't be out playing in the snow. He loves the snow. You know how much he heard him say he loves the snow. But I'm positive he said that. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting to me because I do remember having that conversation with him back in October when I went down and interviewed him, and I don't think he'd had COVID at that time, and there was a little bit of concern because of his health issues.
Yeah, he's come through all right on it, and he just was just as wild as could be saying about it, but I'm pretty daggone sure. But
I'm glad to hear he's doing okay.
He's same Jim, but take care.
Hey, take care. Bye bye. Again, phone lines are open here, 740-383-9944. Phone lines always open here at the station. We love to hear from you. And again, if the line's ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else. And again, the cost for a banner for a veteran is $135, and I'll give that number again, 419-560-1124. And again, they would like to have that money collected by February the 28th, and you will get, along with that banner going up, you will get two replicas for your own use. And again, this could be a veteran now, this could be yourself, this could be somebody who is no longer with us from a previous war. At this point, it does not matter. We're going to break, come back in about 15 minutes with much more here on The Morning Show.
The first broadcast interview here in Marion, Ohio, on a station named after Warren G. Harding, just a quarter mile from the Harding Memorial, where the president is buried, is Jim Blessing, the grandson of President Warren G. Harding and Nan Britton.